Republic Broadcasting Network.
Let me do this. Let's do a little of this Talpiot stuff. Okay? Now, Mark and Philly, hold tight for a second. Let me just play a little bit of stuff here, and then we're gonna bring you up. Can get clip 10 ready. Okay? The Talpiot program, the Israeli intelligence, let's just say vacuum cleaner of information. Okay, let's roll clip 10 real quick.
What is the Intel Management System and why should you care? What is the ARC processor, jointly developed by Goldman Sachs and others for the Internet of Things? The combination of these technologies results in the crown jewel of the hardware facet of the worldwide Talmudic Talpiot Takeover Program, or TOP for short. This Talmudic technological takeover is part hardware and software, but also people, placing them in key positions around the world. It's a fully integrated combination, flesh and blood backdoor, or FAB, into the world's high-tech infrastructure, which includes the Emerging Smart Cities program combined with the Internet of Things and artificial intelligence. But the crown jewel of the Talpiot program is the ARC processor that sits within the Intel Management System, a CPU sitting physically within the Intel CPU with its own fully functioning Linux-based operating system, completely transparent to the Windows, Apple, or Linux-based operating system functioning at the user level. This is the ultimate backdoor of backdoors, and it was designed and fabricated in Israel as the basis of the new Core series of Intel CPUs, integrated between 2006 and 2008. These are the same CPUs that all server farms all over the world use. Every Google server farm, Facebook, corporate, public and private. The NSA insisted on a patch that could switch off the Intel Management System for sensitive systems. No such luck for us mere mortal. The Intel Management Engine cannot be switched off and is a wide open hardware backdoor for Israel to get into any and all computer systems around the world. If you think the AMD line of CPUs are a safe option, think again. They have the platform security processor and it has the exact same problems. Besides, AMD, once a joint operation between Texas Instruments and the Chinese government, is now virtually wholly owned and controlled by China. The ARC processor is tiny, and its multiple formats. It is filling the Internet of Things, from light bulbs to self-driving cars to robots, you name it. Think about it. Think about the power this gives the Israeli state and this Talmudic technological takeover.
All right, so stop it there. Now, Ken, get the previous clip, number 9, ready. Okay, Talpiot, T-A-L-P-I-O-T. So I started seeing this on Rents and other, websites about this Talpiot program. Well, then I go way back to John Ankerberg, who's like a Bible prophecy kind of Protestant, but almost Christian Zionist, pre-tribber. This clip, now remember, folks, this clip goes back about 8.5 years. So when you're talking about Talpiot, okay, this is this intelligence operation program name for the modern Israeli state, but this goes back 8.5 years, and this has to do with Christ's burial proximity, so forth and so on. This is very weird. It's almost like a Talmudic, another slap in the face of Christianity. Let's listen to clip 9.
The gist of the response to the Talpiot tomb claim is that these names were too common to make anything out of it. That, first of all, the location of the tomb, for being a family tomb of Jesus, is in the wrong place. He lived in Galilee. He would have had a family tomb up there. So the ability to procure this tomb and do the reburial within the space of a year, keep it completely secret, etc., is very, very unlikely. So between the social factors that were involved in it, as well as the common nature of the names, it didn't take more than a week to 2 weeks before almost everyone, and again, this is enough, conservative Christians, not so conservative Christians, secular Jews, conservative Jews, atheists. There was almost universal agreement in the scholarly world that there was nothing to this.
You spent time with Amos Cloner right in Jerusalem right after the special with Ted Koppel. What did he say?
Yeah, Amos Cloner was the guy who was in charge of the original excavation of this site, and he basically said that that special had a mistake about every 5 minutes.
You met with Tal Alon, too, and tell who Tal Alon is.
Tal Alon is the expert on names in this period and the frequency of names in this period. She basically said when they interviewed her, she felt like a hostile witness on behalf of defending a murderer, because they tried to back her into a corner, and finally they asked a question so hypothetical she had to answer it the way they wanted to answer it honestly, but she realized what it was that they were up to.
You warned the people that did the special, you warned them of the reaction and that they really didn't know what they were getting into, and then you were part of the Ted Koppel special. And especially one of the things you said was, you say that it's only a spiritual resurrection and not a physical resurrection. This has vast implications. You don't really know the territory you're getting into. Tell us why.
Yeah, this was advice that the filmmaker, who was Jewish, had received
from his Christian consultant. But you guys get where this Talpiot tomb, this was a clip I was just playing from almost 9 years ago. So basically, the Israeli government would take, let's just say, a fake location of the tomb of where Jesus allegedly was buried, et cetera, and make that same location a name for basically a massive data mining project of exponential proportions. I just found that interesting to me, that there was this controversy about the location of Christ's tomb, Talpiot, which most of the Christian and Jewish researchers have said, basically poo-pooed, but yet the Israeli government would use that same terminology for this massive, basically megaphone, a suction megaphone of information across the whole world. I just thought that was fascinating. All right. Let's take Mark in Philadelphia. Come on up, Mark.
Hello, Robert. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for opening the lines. I really appreciate the other callers as well, because they each give us a facet that we may not have considered individually.
Yeah.
I'm originally from southern Missouri. I was born in KC, but grew up in southern Missouri. And so I feel for you to show me the truth. So I'm going to, the title of my call, I'm going to call it Little Guns, Big Guns. And this has to do with these Bolshevik communists who would pose as Jews and the others that might be Jews that are going along with the whole deal.
Well, hey, there's plenty of non-Jews that are there basically sycophants as well. We have to deal with as well. Yeah.
Right. So Little Guns, Big Guns, and I'm talking about infiltration and then compromising us, okay? And one example, the oldest firearms brand, which is also the largest firearms brand in the United States, is Remington, okay? And actually, they're also one of the oldest brands of all brands.
Yeah, they got bought out by Jewish owners, correct?
Right, Cerberus Capital. By the way, and Cerberus is the watchdog that watches the gates of hell. Are you ready? Who would name their company after a watchdog guarding the gates of hell?
Creeps.
Right. Okay. So get this. So in the last few years before Trump came in, right, gun sales were through the roof. Now, how did Remington, which owned there was a dozen subsidiaries, maybe 16 subsidiaries, one of them being Bushmaster, how does a company like that, when their gun sales are through the roof, lose $950 million and claim bankruptcy? How's that happen? I say it's because they were infiltrated and they were compromised from within to take down our oldest brand and to take down our potential, the quality control coming out of these factories went way down. I don't know if you noticed that or if you heard about it.
Well, let me posit this past you, and some people have thrown this out here, that basically with Trump coming in, the pro-gun hysteria subsided, and so then gun sales went way down, and so then there's elements within the, let's just say, corporate gun and deep state that are running operations in schools and so forth to get the anti-gun hysteria at an apex, so therefore all of us go out and buy more guns. There's that aspect out here that people are positing around as well.
Right. There you go. Okay, so now let's go to the big guns. Now, this is, by the way, I want to thank you for your service. I'm also a veteran of the Navy. I was avionics, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I came up with this about a year and a half ago or so, and I've been trying to get it in, I've been trying to call in. I actually wanted to call in to you before and posit this with you. This is a perspective I have of what might be happening. Okay, the big guns. Okay, let's see, Lockheed Martin. Let's see, that F-35, very advanced plane, and by the way, it is very advanced. The only problem is it's got so many damn bugs, they can't keep it off the, off the ground,
a lot of people
right?
say it's a piece of junk, yeah, sure.
Okay, now get this.
The old F-16s and stuff are like way, way better and could shoot it down in half a minute, but go ahead, yeah.
Okay, now get this. What if it's an inside job to compromise us? Did you notice what just happened recently? Israel just took delivery of a bunch of those. I think 50 to begin with, and another 50.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What if the fix is in? I'm going to repeat it. What if the fix is in, and they have the fix for the bugs, but they're not going to give it to us? And then in the previous tape that you played connects with this taking over technology, but also what you said earlier in the program where you talked about they're calling all the Jews back to Israel.
Yeah. They call it the Aliyah.
What if they take the most advanced plane, they take it back home, and they don't give us the fix because they're in charge of it. Basically, who runs Lockheed Martin? Who runs these corporations? They're infiltrated to the max.
Yeah,
the military
Raytheon,
complexes.
Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, Boeing.
All of them. None of them have not been touched. None of them. You know, right? So that's my take on it, that it's a compromise of our ability to defend our own nation, and they could use those same weapons. We sponsored them. I mean, we paid for them, and then they get them at a discount, because that's the other thing.
Well,
they
let's just say this. Let's just say this. The the community that is wise to Jewish mafia tactics has always been leery of the fact that Israel grabs our stuff. There are butt buddies. The Congress is in the till with them. And then next thing you know, it all goes to Iran. It all goes to China. It all goes to Russia. It all goes to North Korea, the highest bidder. And then Israel sitting here whining about all these enemies, but when basically they sold these so-called enemies, the high technology which they've plundered from the Americans. I mean, look at the nuclear bomb itself with Oppenheimer and the rest of them. The Soviets, the Jewish Soviets, got it immediately, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
This is how it always goes. The China Gate with Bill Clinton, okay? Schwartz from the Laurel Corporation, okay? All the rocket technology, China Gate. There's a Jew involved there. Look, Epstein and Shapiro, these guys that stood behind Mao Zedong, these Jewish mobsters, they built China to be basically our nemesis. And eventually, probably, according to a lot of these researchers out here, the characters are going to run our concentration camps.
There you go. Here's another one for you. On the physical body level, the human mind, the mind control experiments that the CIA did, which then they wanted to put it into the marketplace, where they and the first company they couldn't do it directly, so they had to go through a pharmaceutical company. What company was that in the early 90s? It was none other than Eli Lilly, where they started to make what?
Dan Quayle, Eli Lilly. Yeah, Dan Quayle, Eli Lilly.
Bush Jr., Bush Sr. was on the board.
So it was. But who was his vice president? Dan Quayle.
So with Bush being former CIA, right? I mean, I'm telling you.
The DCI, the director of Central Intelligence. Remember, Daddy Bush was having dinner with John Hinckley Sr. the night before Jr. Shot Reagan. Remember that?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, this stuff's so gangster. The Bush family is so gangster, and Bill Clinton's considered one of their sons. Barack Obama's just the next subsidiary. The Bush crime family, that's why Daddy Bush said if they knew what we did, they'd hang us in the streets tomorrow morning. Okay, so the Bush family is the worst traitors that basically have ever existed in this country, and the Clintons and the Obamas are just subsidiaries of the Bush crime family. They ran 9/11 with their Israeli Mossad buddies and all the Jesuit generals and the rest of them. They were all in on this thing. And you know, MI6, Pakistan's ISI, the whole thing is just reeks with the Saudis and everybody else.
By the way, did you see Made in America with Tom Cruise?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you got to watch it. What's his name? He was running.
Barry Seals.
Oh man, yeah. You got to watch it. You got to watch it, Robert. It's really good. But there's a reveal in there. There's several reveals where Clinton's the president, and he calls in, and they get Barry Seal released. You know, and he's in the midst of, you know, the Arkansas.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm old enough, and you're old enough to remember Roger Clinton, Dan Lasseter.
Yeah.
All the gangsters in the Dixie Mafia, the coke snorting weirdos down there. I mean, the body count down there. Oh my God, it's just so deep. All the troopers dead. Ron Brown. I mean, how deep does the Clinton body count have to go before people on the left, these women in the pussy hats, realize that they're dealing with mass murderers?
And then you can't make this stuff up. And then who does the NRA elect as their new president? I mean, Ollie North.
I know. It's just this whole reality of ours is meant to just, I think, mind screw us to the point where we quit caring. I think it's just to where let's just go barbecue tomorrow and forget about it.
Right. What I call that, Robert, is the mesmerization of America, to put us in a state of, you know, where basically what it does is it drives.
What I call it, you know what I call it? The intellectual fetal position. Intellectual fetal position, the IFP.
There you go. It drives everybody to apathy. Thank you.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Got a few minutes here, Ken, if you would get clip 17 ready. This is about Talcum X, Sean King, this little Rachel Dolezal equivalent on the male side, who basically is a white guy, married, 17. It's from the Rebel Media. Sean King, who really cut his teeth at the Ferguson thing right here in St. Louis. He writes for the New York Daily News, as far as I know. But this, see, I want to show you how the left Marxist types can be insulated from accountability by putting out lies. Okay, let's roll 17.
A couple of days back, about 4 days ago, Sean King, he's now deleted the tweets, but they were captured. Sean King went on Twitter on the morning of May 20th, and he wrote, quote, "This woman was kidnapped and raped by a Texas State Trooper, Officer Hubbard. He is now being held hostage in the Ellis County Jail." So he accused a state trooper of felony kidnapping, felony rape, and then the county is run by the sheriff's office of kidnapping. He accused them of three felonies and named the trooper. Rita Dixon Cole just happens to be a close personal friend of civil rights attorney and my friend, at Merit Law, this attorney. I'm going to get to the attorney in a second, who did a big mea culpa. These are the facts he got from her family. And Sean King goes on to say, I just spoke to a witness who says he strangely saw Charita Dixon Cole put in the front seat of this officer's car, as she said in her statement to her family. Just confirmed that Charita Dixon Cole passed her breathalyzer test and was arrested without cause. He then goes, very important story, not only on the sexual assault of Charita Dixon Cole. He's doubling down now, calling the police officer a rapist, the trooper, a rapist and a sexual abuser, but on the mistreatment of black women across the country by American police and why these stories are just not told widely enough. Problem, however, is that Mr. Merritt, the attorney, watched the footage released, 2 hours of footage released by the Texas Department of Public Safety of Trooper Hubbard's body camera that completely debunks the claims. Let me read you the letter written yesterday from S. Lee Merritt Sr. Esquire, attorney at law, barred in the states of Pennsylvania and New Jersey. It was a press release by attorney Merritt. For immediate release, sexual assault allegations, against Texas DPS officer. Waxahachie, Texas. The body camera footage released directly conflicts with the accounts reported to my office. There is no readily apparent evidence of tampering with the footage. Officer Daniel Hubbard seems to comport himself professionally during the duration of the traffic stop and arrest, with and without more, should be cleared of any wrongdoing. It is deeply troubling when innocent people are falsely accused, and I am truly sorry for any trouble these claims may have caused Officer Hubbard and his family. I take full responsibility for amplifying these claims to the point of national concern. This office regularly receives hundreds of complaints of abuse from across the nation, and we are obligated to filter these messages thoroughly before relaying them to our powerful allies. Our office necessarily takes claims of abuse,
particularly by law enforcement officers,
very serious.
Talcum X, this little faggot. Sean King, this little punk, this little communist apparatchik, this little agitprop, he needs to be slapped around. He's not going to be held accountable, okay? And he talked about raping, blah, blah. Let me just tell you something about state troopers across the board. These guys are like being held to military standards. They're not going to play around with raping a woman, blah, blah, blah. State troopers are basically feds. And I know feds are a bunch of gangsters, but a lot of state troopers, when they're wearing these body cams and the rest of it, they're not going to rape some broad, okay? They might free case you and give you whatever, I don't know, across the states, I can't say. But like Missouri state troopers, they're not going to rape some broad while they're on duty. It's just not going to happen. And but see, these American blacks have been so warped and propagandized and mind controlled, MK Ultra'd to the point where they will obviously and just blatantly lie on their fellow man. Preachers, okay? NAACP aligned preachers, women. It's an epidemic now where basically black people, they pulled over and they get held accountable for speeding or whatever. They want to lie on their fellow man, and especially if they're white, bear false witness against their neighbor. It's insanity, okay? And it's all this Black Lives Matter, communist, just Marxist crap, to where now people think that it's okay to bear false witness against their neighbor. And nobody wants to call them out for breaking the sixth commandment. Nope. It's just, oh my God, they're just under a lot of press here. Oh, it's just years of oppression. Michael Eric Dyson, this buffoon, will probably be like, well, it's 300 years of slavery. They just have a right to lie on the police. You see, this is the insanity that we're living in now. This is South Africa 2.0. And so unless people nip this in the bud here in the United States, we are going to get submerged into some sort of sick, triple, quadruple standard, weird trash now. We already know we're living under it. And any of the black callers, you know, I mean, and listeners, you know, call in right now. You know it's true. It's insanity where people are just going to lie on a cop. Now, look, there's cops that are bad and they do bad stuff, but there's no point in lying on one. That's that to the point it was they don't even understand their negative karma into their own life. You got.
And together we will wound. Together we will run. And I feed the fire. It is burning me alive.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. News with...
program coming your way now. Just imagine me. Okay, I get pulled over by a black cop. Okay, and I was good for it. I was speeding. He gives me a ticket. I'm gonna go on Facebook and be like, "Oh my god, this evil black cop! He hates white people." And the way these blacks do in the United States. I mean, that is. I would never do that. I've got enough integrity to be like, you know what? If I'm good for it, I'll take my weight. But something's happened with MSNBC, CNN, Black Talk Radio, hip-hop radio stations, the rest of it, where they think basically to lie on another person is acceptable, and that's a Machiavellian tactic to where, hey, it is what it is. That cop, he treated me well, but guess what? I got to save my rear end, so I'm going to lie on the cop. You know, cops got enough crap to deal with, and look, a lot of them are enforcing goofy laws that a lot of us don't like. You know, the UCC and all the Admiralty BS that we all on RBN know about. But, you know, if a cop, you know, the thing is with me is lying on your neighbor, whether he's in a position of, like, you know, wearing a badge or not. I mean, you're bringing negative consequences. And then Ken says, like, they were so happy when OJ got off. And they were playing this recently. It's just like, knowing OJ was guilty as hell of killing Nicole and Ron Goldman is what it is. It's a complicated racial powder keg we live on. Ken tells me Chris called back. You want to let Chris back on? See what he got to say.
I'm here if you hear me, Robert.
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Okay.
You're welcome anytime, man. You're welcome anytime. Come on back up.
Since you've got this discussion talking about police officers' ability to lie and the habitual.
Well, no. But what I'm saying is that a civilian that was treated well by police that wants to lie on the cop.
Swatting is what they call that. I have a book in my hand called The Investigator Anthology, a compilation of articles and essays about the Reed technique of interviewing and interrogation. This is about 2010 model. Now, this Reed technique is right out of the Chicago Saul Alinskyite schools with a proactivist judiciary there of terrorists, insane delusional conclusions. And it cites a case here on page 435, the necessity for trickery and deceit in criminal interrogations. In 1969, the U.S. Supreme Court decision, Frazier v. Cupp, C-U-P-P, F-R-A-Z-I-E-R, emphatically acknowledged the necessity of using trickery and deceit during interrogation. The suspect was falsely told that his accomplice had made incriminating statements. The fact that they misrepresented statements to the suspected accomplice made, while relevant, insufficient in our view to make otherwise voluntary confession inadmissible.
Okay, Chris. Hold on. So what kind of area would an Alinskyite type of individual being, if he's a police officer, being fed some kind of information like this to use in his interrogation? Would it be a Marxist kind of Democrat controlled area? What would it be?
Well, it's apparently infiltrated all law enforcement associations around the country, from my observation.
Yeah.
This habitual proclivity to lie, having the discretion to tell other than the truth for any means or schemes they deem to see necessary or plausible.
Well, what if there's body cam footage that the cop treated this individual completely with respect and was totally a nice guy, but then this individual bared false witness on the cop? Because this is what I'm talking about.
You're exactly right. There are good cops out there that don't do that.
Well, see, these are the incidences I'm talking about. Three big ones in the last week. Mark Dice and a bunch of other people covered it, where their body cam footage actually exonerated the cop, who was like, these were like dudes that were totally staying within the parameters of professionalism, and then these people were bearing false witness against the cops. Now, I know that. Look, I know exactly where you're going with this, but this is totally the opposite of what I was talking about.
Yes, and I agree with you.
Okay.
Whenever anybody that twists the facts to their own predatory legal advantage, illegal advantage, it's called avariciousness or predatory.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Just like I was talking about earlier with the SWAT teaming of a supposed drug dealer and the kid catches a incendiary grenade in the chest.
Oh, yeah.
I talked about
that.
Yeah, I talked. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely horrific.
No knock raids and so forth. I think that a no knock raid to me, when there's innocence in the domicile, I think it's totally unacceptable.
Absolutely, it's insane. There's very few reasons that's the outside of the norm to have a no-knock raid. There must be overriding mitigating circumstance that would predicate that sort of deviant and dangerous behavior.
Like something like a nuclear weapon or something like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, if a guy's got a history of shooting cops or something like that, you might make a case for it.
But when
you've got children in the house or innocent bystanders, it's a different circumstance whatsoever. But this culture of lying to grind axes with your adversary, be they police or suspects, is just an insidious problem.
Well,
with our
Chris, let me talk about this. And look, the Kansas just made it illegal for cops to bang hookers on duty, you know, and all that. I mean, look, you know what I'm saying? I'm totally on your side with the corruption in the police. I mean, at the same time, though, I don't like seeing people lie on the police when I look at the footage, was totally like the nicest guy in the world and didn't want to have any confrontation and blah blah blah. And see, this is the cognitive dissonance we're dealing with, Chris. Two countervailing things where the cops on one hand are doing evil and corrupt things, no knock raids, blah blah blah, and at the same time people on the streets are willing to lie on a cop that was actually doing the right thing. We're screwed.
Well, both ways are aberrant behavior, whereby somebody is using their own lies to try to fabricate somebody that was totally innocent. Being a victim of that type of behavior, I'm pretty familiar with, and I abhor it either way. Nobody deserves to have lies told on them to incriminate them and false charge them.
Chris, it goes back to the commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's as simple as I can tell it with all these people that are listening to the program. It's like, dude, how are you going to lie on your neighbor when they're in a position of authority, or whether they're not, or whether they're just a coworker, or whatever the hell it is? You're going to lie on them and construct a narrative that's not true to really put them in a place that's like, you know, it's going to like jeopardize their home, their family, their life. I just don't see how people can do it.
I'm with you, brother. This is what's written in the book, the tablets, the stone tablets, written with the finger of God. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your flame. That means no lying to incriminate somebody. It should be clear for the police or the people on the street that this is not tolerable behavior.
Hey, Chris, but the rabbis made it, hey, just don't lie on your brother Jew and the rest of the goy. The rest of the goy, hey, lie on them all you want. It's all good. See, the CNN, the MSNBC? Synagogue. Yeah. See, the synagogue twisted up God's law. That's why he called it the leaven of the Pharisees. It's because you nullify the word of God with your goofy traditions to where it's none effect.
Well, you got to follow the doctrine of the Creator or the doctrine of the Pharisees or the synagogue of Satan. You have the right side of the wrong side of the argument, and I think you're on the right side tonight.
Look at those priests. Look at those priests. That's like, hey, look, I raped a kid, but I will go to confession, and it's all good.
Yeah. They're tricked and fooled themselves. Yeah, I really greatly appreciate righteous, moral, scrupulous law enforcement professionals, but I abhor criminals that rape people, that lie, that fabricate false charges, plant evidence, break up families to get their people to turn against them. I have no appreciation or tolerance for these type of criminals.
And I know you're an old cop, Chris, but what happened from the 70s where it was like there was a lot of strings you had to go through with entrapment? Now entrapment's just accepted. Cops can smoke dope in front of their guy that they're trying to bust and everything else. Entrapment used to mean something. Now, in the 2000s and on further, entrapment's nothing. You can entrap anybody you want.
Well, when you have this bar, which is really an undercover warring force against the American people, and all these judges are bar members, when you get these deviant decisions to drive
the policies to create confusion, chaos, and crisis in the public eye so it'll provoke revolution. This is exactly what you're seeing in America today. They're trying to cause us to go into a bloody holy war, a jihad in America.
Yeah. Well, look, the Constitution was designed for a moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. So you go and undermine the moral and religious foundations, and guess what? The Constitution cannot govern us. And so then you got to go into a totalitarian state.
And that's what they want us to do. They're trying very, very hard to provoke us into wars all around the world, so we'll be at war with the world. That's what the peace is to the synagogue of Satan. It's an eternal state of war. Thank you so much, Robert.
All right, Chris. Thanks for the call, bro. Let's take Murr in Wisconsin. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Hey, Ken. Okay, Ken, let's get 15 ready. I want to play a little bit of this transhuman stuff. So Skywatch TV, the transhuman resistance. Let's roll a little bit of this one. Go ahead and roll 15. All right, go ahead. You got a minute. But this is basically about the Christian kind of movement against genetic enhancement, robotics, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology. Oh, okay. Bring Murr up. Go ahead, Murr.
Hey, I guess I got disconnected. That's the second time recently. I don't know what's going on there.
Okay.
Anyway, I've been taking notes kind of all through the night, but I had a couple of things to begin with. But when Kathy was talking, I played this thing with the $281 and how outrageous that is, right? And Feinberg would just say, oh, well, the remainder goes back to the company. Mm-hmm, whatever. But how big, Wolfgang, how big on Rick Adams shortly after the deposition where the thing got thrown out with Lenny Posner where he wouldn't show up? He has like five IDs or something. So anyway, he was saying that Feinberg, you know, it says in the Jew Wiki that Feinberg had $7.7 million to dish out at Sandy Hook. Each one of them got $281,000.
Interesting.
What's with that number? There's something with that number.
281. That's an 11. 2 and 8 plus 10 plus 1 is 11.
Yeah.
That number, yeah. Yes.
And also, Feinberg was head of JFK Library. And that was one of the main things that went on there, besides bringing in the Mossad to get those two guys. But something had to be gotten rid of there. That was 2013, just before the 50th anniversary of Kennedy's.
JFK.
There was stuff in there, and I think
so. Recently, we've had one of the Kennedys recently questioning
Robert,
the murder. Yes,
Robert so. Over Sirhan. Yeah. Sirhan. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank God. Keep it up.
Yeah.
But
well, look, this whole, all these narratives that we always look at, all of us on RBN and other networks, the whole thing just reeks in your nose. And I know it does in God's nose, too, to where it's just like there's a reckoning moment coming our way very quickly here. When you look at the transhuman stuff, Murr, hang on. Ken, play bits of clip 15 here, and I want to keep Murr on the line and go ahead and roll a little bit of this.
That's the point of this article. They're essentially saying that we are the leaders of a transhuman resistance, and that we're secularizing demonology, that we're taking some of these old ideas, everything from the Tower of Babel and whatever, and we're kind of recasting it through modern science, genetics, robotics, AI, all that, and we're throwing up red flags, which the professor wouldn't necessarily agree with.
Right.
But his point is, basically the futurists, the people in those communities, are going to have to pay attention to people like us, because we do represent, perhaps a somewhat silent, but like the last election shows, there could be a grassroots there that have been silent, but they might represent a very large, if not majority, certainly a large number of people who believe that technology represents a lot of hopeful things. And I think everybody on this panel would agree, we believe that through biotech and other things, a lot of great things could happen.
If
could find the cures to cancer and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But If we go so far as to reimagine what it even means to be a human, which is the goal of transhumanism, the idea transhuman, we're in a transitionary state right now, and eventually we'll be posthuman, something so unlike what people are today as to no longer even be considered to be human. And one of the things that really concerns me, and then I'll let you guys talk, is that I have a feeling that the church is really in the dark. The church community is not paying very much attention to this issue. You use the question transhumanism, and they'll be, what? Huh? What? Mm-hmm. What's that all about? But that's not true in Silicon Valley, where they imagine reinventing new gods and new religions. And it's becoming a big thing. And a lot of Carl's research is probably the leading research on this subject matter out there right now, as it involves, you know, basically the development of a new kind of faith mm-hmm. and a new kind of humanity that's going to worship a new god. Right?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because you use the phrase secularizing demonology. I would say the transhumanists are deifying technology. Mm-hmm. They're doing the opposite of that. And all we're trying to do is make the public, especially the church, aware of it.
Carl, you've been tracking this for a long time in the context of how globalists are trying to push us into a one-world system, a part of an overarching belief system generally termed one-ism.
Right.
How does transhumanism fit into that movement?
Well, I'll back up a little bit. I've been doing this kind of research work in understanding oneism, the idea that we need to come together as one planet. We're creating a one-world system. And along the way, you take a look at politics, you take a look at religion, you take a look at culture. There's all these facets, and technology is a part of that. Mm-hmm. And you cannot divorce the technological aspect from this desire to create for ourselves a new paradise, mm-hmm. a new Eden. And so I came at it from that perspective to try to understand, all right, how does technology play into what really is a religious worldview, a type of sacred secularity or a spiritual materialism? And so some of my early background was in trying to understand even Freemasonry, because Freemasonry is all about a spiritual form of technique, a spiritual ritualized technique to bring about perfectibility. Mm-hmm. Well, as I'm looking through the transhumanist literature, I spent time with transhumanists, what strikes me is over and over again, it's the search for some type of perfectibility through technique, through systems, through a mechanization, but it is always this search for something that is perfectible.
Wasn't that the term that the Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati in the 18th century, called themselves, the perfectibilists?
Yes, in fact, that terminology is rampant, because that is ultimately the goal. We are looking to perfect ourselves. We recognize that we are fundamentally flawed. Now, from the Christian point of view, we know why we're flawed. Mm-hmm. The world knows it's flawed, too. But they seek other answers.
This is no different than self-directed evolution, though.
Exactly, exactly. This becomes a type of mechanized act of salvation. Mm-hmm. This is salvation on our terms. We are going to reinvent ourselves in our image.
Would you say this is a return to Babel, then? The original idea of building the one...
In a sense, it is. In a sense, it is. But we've always been building our Babels.
See, they want to write Christ out of the picture. They want to perfect us technologically. And look, all the crap we're dealing with, all the Marxists, the Antifa, the goons, they're all part of the apparatchiks of really what this is. Underneath the whole surface, this is what's happening. DARPA and all the rest of this crap. But let's bring Murr back in, because that's some heavy stuff. But her and I talk sometimes off the air. But go ahead, Murr. What do you think about all that? That's the big picture. This is where it is. These are the people that want to get to the tree of life outside of God's will and get immortality. Basically make an end run around God's will itself and do what they will. Go ahead.
That's some smarmy stuff. Woof.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's nasty. You know what? It goes along with everything else that's going on. And as soon as they threw out Christ or tried to, you know, he comes in other places. But nature abhors a vacuum, and they knew that. They're letting
That's right.
the power of the air rush in.
That's right.
Prince of the power of air. But what I've been looking into here recently, and I said something yesterday when I got the call into Dennis Fecho and Graham Hart, is Carolyn Lamaco, L-I-M-A-C-O, and she has BitChute, but she was doing a couple weeks now in a row live thing with Titus Frost. His name's Dean something or other, but anyway. And then there's the honeybee, I think it's like a Greek name, her real name, and Tracy Beans, different ones, are researching all these symbols and things, and I think that's how they're going to nab them. But what we don't realize is all these elite generational Satanists, many of them Jews, they have to, this is horrible, they have to sexually torture their children every day. And they do this. It's just a generational thing they do to make them be confused and invert pain and pleasure and a balance of pain and pleasure and all these fertility rights.
Yeah. Well, it's almost a creation. It's the almost perpetuation of the psychopathic.
Yep. Definitely.
They destroy their consciences when they're young, and then therefore they become these heartless psychos that have no conscience, and then they perpetuate the cycle.
You know, well, while your show was going on here, and I'm looking up links about Talpiot and stuff, and I remember Brendan, because he's been on Herzog's, too. That's what Brendan said on Deference. He said between you and Michael Herzog, how he was getting hit, all his equipment. Same thing with Rents and then Herzog, too, you know, and his producer losing the internet and everything. But anyway, I found this one, the IDF Incubator for Israel's Future CEOs, and these are the brightest. They go through Talpiot program. Talpiot also means tower, and it's the name of a city. But I was looking at the eyes of this one guy, and they're not really even supposed to be in it. They have building their own toolboxes. And most of these graduates were in biology, which they don't even belong in. You know, and they're probably making all kind of weird aerosols, like they want to aerosolize rabies.
Well, I mean, biology and the genetic level is where a lot of the, let's say, cutting edge manipulations happening.
But you know, you can look right in these people's eyes, and you can see, and this sodomy that is done before age 5 repeatedly, especially with the boys, all to be in anything in Europe, any royalty or any higher position, you have to be part of this club. And
well,
that's why
that DJ, I played his song at the beginning of the show, Avicii, this kid, Tim Berglund. I think he was, when you look at his material he put out and For a Better Day and all that, which I covered in the last number of weeks, I think this kid was trafficked himself, and he was, and he put out some of the most glorious, uplifting music, but I think he had that dark pain that happened. You know, the Belgians, the Swedes, the elites, they put
they
their kids out.
Yeah. And see, what happens is it raises the IQ, but it also shatters the personality.
That's right. Fractures. They call it fracturing them. Yes.
Yeah, well, they shatter. I mean, look at, what's his name, David Schroeder. Especially if they decide to remain homosexual. Seems like they're out there.
It breaks all of our hearts. Those of us that are normal, decent. And look, I'm not decent, but I'm a normal person, and I've got my own
proclivities. These are the people in charge. We've got to take them out of control. That's what Hitler did in September 1933. He took the Jews out of power, you know, and they made their own money without any backing of gold, just a currency between them. You know. Oh, I talked you out of time here.
All right, Murr, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing your thing, man. I love you and love everybody.
Love you, too. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. See you guys next week, man. It's heavy stuff we're dealing with. And Ken, thank you, brother. Do a great job always. And RBN, keep supporting the network, folks.
blood in my brain. Ah, the fight, the destruction.